Penguin Random House Audio presents Human Compatible, Artificial Intelligence and the Problem of Control by Stuart Russell. Read for you by Raphael Corkill. For Loy, Gordon, Lucy, George and Isaac. Preface. Why this book? Why now? This book is about the past, present, and future of our attempt to understand and create intelligence. This matters, not because AI is rapidly becoming a pervasive aspect of the present, but because it is the dominant technology of the future. The world's great powers are waking up to this fact, and the world's largest corporations have known it for some time. We cannot predict exactly how the technology will develop or on what timeline. Nevertheless, we must plan for the possibility that machines will far exceed the human capacity for decision-making in the real world. What then? Everything civilization has to offer is the product of our intelligence. Gaining access to considerably greater intelligence would be the biggest event in human history. The purpose of the book is to explain why it might be the last event in human history and how to make sure that it is not. Overview of the book. The book is three parts. The first part, chapters 1-3, explores the idea of intelligence in humans and in machines. The material requires no technical background, but for those who are interested, it is supplemented by four appendices that explain some of the core concepts underlying present-day AI systems. The second part, chapters 4-6, discusses some problems arising from imbuing machines with intelligence. I focus in particular on the problem of control, retaining absolute power over machines that are more powerful than us. The third part, chapters 7-10, suggests a new way to think about AI and to ensure that machines remain beneficial to humans forever. The book is intended for a general audience, but will, I hope, be of value in convincing specialists in artificial intelligence to rethink their fundamental assumptions. 1. If we succeed. A long time ago, my parents lived in Birmingham, England, in a house near the university. They decided to move out of the city and sold the house to David Lodge, a professor of English literature. Lodge was, by that time, already a well-known novelist. I never met him, but I decided to read some of his books. Changing Places and Small World. Among the principal characters were fictional academics moving from a fictional version of Birmingham to a fictional version of Berkeley, California. As I was an actual academic from the actual Birmingham who had just moved to the actual Berkeley, it seemed that someone in the Department of Coincidences was telling me to pay attention. One particular scene from Small World struck me. The protagonist, an aspiring literary theorist, attends a major international conference and asks a panel of leading figures, "What follows if everyone agrees with you?" The question causes consternation, because the panelists had been more concerned with intellectual combat than ascertaining truth or attaining understanding. It occurred to me then that an analogous question could be asked of the leading figures in AI. What if you succeed? The field's goal has always been to create human-level or superhuman AI, but there was little or no consideration of what would happen if we did. A few years later, Peter Norvig and I began work on a new AI textbook, whose first edition appeared in 1995. The book's final section is titled, "What If We Do Succeed?" The section points to the possibility of good and bad outcomes, but reaches no firm conclusions. By the time of the third edition, in 2010, many people had finally begun to consider the possibility that superhuman AI might not be a good thing, but these people were mostly outsiders rather than mainstream AI researchers. By 2013, I became convinced that the issue not only belonged in the mainstream, but was possibly the most important question facing humanity. In November 2013, I gave a talk at the Dulwich Picture Gallery, a venerable art museum in South London. The audience consisted mostly of retired people, non-scientists with a general interest in intellectual matters, so I had to give a completely non-technical talk. It seemed an appropriate venue to try out my ideas in public for the first time. After explaining what AI was about, I nominated five candidates for the biggest event in the future of humanity. 1. We all die. Asteroid impact, climate catastrophe, pandemic, etc. 2. We all live forever. Medical solution to aging. 3. We invent faster-than-light travel and conquer the universe. 4. We are visited by a superior alien civilization. 5. We invent superintelligent AI. I suggested that the fifth candidate, superintelligent AI, would be the winner because it would help us avoid physical catastrophes and achieve eternal life and faster-than-light travel if those were indeed possible. It would represent a huge leap, a discontinuity in our civilization. The arrival of superintelligent AI is in many ways analogous to the arrival of a superior alien civilization, but much more likely to occur. Perhaps most important, AI, unlike aliens, is something over which we have some say. Then I asked the audience to imagine what would happen if we received notice from a superior alien civilization that they would arrive on Earth in 30 to 50 years. The word pandemonium doesn't begin to describe it. Yet our response to the anticipated arrival of superintelligent AI has been, well, underwhelming begins to describe it. In a later talk, I illustrated this contrast in the form of a very improbable email exchange that went like this. From Superior Alien Civilization, SAC12 at Sirius.canismajor.u to humanity@un.org. Subject, contact. Be warned, we shall arrive in 30 to 50 years. From humanity@un.org to Superior Alien Civilization, SAC12 at Sirius.canismajor.u. Subject, out of office, RE, contact. Humanity is currently out of the office. We will respond to your message when we return. Smiley face. Probably not the email exchange that would follow the first contact by a superior alien civilization. Finally, I ended my Dulwich talk by explaining the significance of superintelligent AI as follows. Success would be the biggest event in human history, and perhaps the last event in human history. A few months later, in April 2014, I was at a conference in Iceland and got a call from National Public Radio asking if they could interview me about the movie Transcendence, which had just been released in the United States. Although I had read the plot summaries and reviews, I hadn't seen it because I was living in Paris at the time, and it would not be released there until June. It so happened, however, that I had just added a detour to Boston on the way home from Iceland so that I could participate in a Defense Department meeting. So after arriving at Boston's Logan Airport, I took a taxi to the nearest theater showing the movie. I sat in the second row and watched as a Berkeley AI professor, played by Johnny Depp, was gunned down by anti-AI activists worried about, yes, superintelligent AI. Involuntarily, I shrank down in my seat. Another call from the Department of Coincidences? Before Johnny Depp's character dies, his mind is uploaded to a quantum supercomputer and quickly outruns human capabilities, threatening to take over the world. On April 19th, 2014, a review of Transcendence, co-authored with physicists Max Tegmark, Frank Wilczek, and Stephen Hawking, appeared in the Huffington Post. It included the sentence from my Dulwich talk about the biggest event in human history. From then on, I would be pub...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?